Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. The Anointing Pool Gospel Center just wants to say good afternoon and happy Friday to you. This is Tracy with the Anointing Pool Gospel Center, and our Chief Apostle and Overseer, Margaret L. Moore, is the Overseer of the Anointing Pool Gospel Center. And this Friday is March the 3rd, the Anointing Women's Ministry comes to you today. Just wanted to just let you know, as God reminds me, just how special you are, how much He loves you, and how no matter where you are in this day or on this journey, that you are special, you are important, you are valuable to Him, wherever you are at this day. And so today, as God gave me the topic for today, and it is in the meantime, and as it was said on the first broadcast for the Anointed Women's Ministry, is that we're all on a journey. No matter where we're at in this life, we're on a journey. And I remember Chief Apostle had shared with us, and this is something that has stuck with me ever since, is that from the beginning, from the time God has spoken a promise and to the time of the manifestation, that is the journey. That is the process that we're on until the manifestation. So the question is today is how are we, what are we doing in this meantime, in the time in between before the manifestation? Because again, as I remember learning that when the promise comes, it's always that initial reaction of excitement, that emotion that comes up because it sounds good, it sounds great. But then when the days come, the weeks come, we're still stronger than the months come, the years come, and you know, it gets rough. It does get hard. But what God wants to encourage all of us to know that in our meantime, there is readiness that He's doing. There is preparedness that He's doing. We have been taught that at church, and to know the importance of the time in between before the manifestation, from the time that God promised what He has purposed in our lives and from the time of manifestation. So in today, God gave me the story of Rebecca. We're all very familiar with it, but there's a few scriptures in the story of Rebecca that is coming out of Genesis chapter 24. And again, as we know that Rebecca, actually during this time, Abraham was actually in his old age, and he was wanting to have a wife for his son Isaac, but he did not want to have a wife for his son Isaac in the land that he was staying, which is the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised him. And he had told his head servant of his household and said he wanted him to go back to his homeland and get a wife amongst his clan, amongst his kinfolk, amongst his family for his son Isaac, not of the women of the Canaanites. And so when the servant agreed to her, the servant also had a question that if the woman does not want to accompany him to come back to the land of the Canaanites, what should he do at that point? And Abraham gave him to know that you will be free from this oath. So when they went ahead and agreed to this oath, and then the head servant went back went to Abraham's homeland, he went when he went with other servants, he went with camels, he went with goods of valuable and articles of clothing, jewelry. He went with all those different things back to Abraham's homeland. And so that brings up to the first scripture I wanted to bring today. And it says in verse 11 in chapter 24 of Genesis, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. And this is set out for Aram Naharaim. It was towards evening the time the women go out to draw water. I want to stop there because in this mean time that we're at, it does not look like anything is happening. It doesn't look like things are changing. It doesn't look like what God has promised is actually coming to pass. But during this time, what came to me in this scripture is that God's plan is in motion. We don't always see it, but his plan is in motion. Rebecca had no idea that this man from her family, from her kinfolk, was a head servant from her relative Abraham that was coming to her. No one, she didn't know about it, just like a lot of us do not know how God is going to bring about his plan. None of us know unless he chooses to reveal it. So in this is very key for me and wanting to share is that God has set in motion his plan and his purpose for our lives. And just to be encouraged that he does it. He knows the plan. And I know Chief Apostle had emphasized this, and it's not just a plan. That word plans had an S on it. So he has plans, and he knows it. He knows the details. He knows who to cross your path. He knows who to set in motion. He knows every single detail, but he just wants us to be encouraged in the meantime in knowing that he has it all orchestrated. So also wanting to go further down and actually to verse 12, and it says, then he prayed. And also wanted to stop there. There was another thing in verse 11 is that this particular servant knew that during this time, because it was during evening time, the women of the town would come and draw water for the family. Now, that was something that was it stuck out to me, and that was he knew the time. And he knew the time that these women were going to come out. And oftentimes in our lives, we can look at a situation and we try to analyze it. We try to look at it and put our minds on it or what we say, our two cents in it. And we try to figure it out or try to bring about the promise ourselves. So in this, because again, he knew he was going back to Abraham's hometown to get a wife for Isaac. So he knew that this was a time that women were going to be coming to this area by the well that he was at. So instead of trying to figure it out himself or trying to pick out the woman for himself, he did something very significant, and that was in verse 12. And it begins and says, then he prayed. Once he acknowledged that he saw the time, he recognized this situation, but instead of him going off of what he thought, how he felt, he acknowledged God. And it says, then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. And so on ladder scriptures onto there. And again, in your time, you can read on further than that. But it goes on to say his request that he had desired of God to be able to, for him to know God's will concerning which woman would be the woman that he had appointed for Isaac. And so it was different things that the servant had asked for. And that was, and the key things is that he looked for attributes. And that is very key because he wanted to mention a few things, is that he wanted to know that it says, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. And then he goes on to say, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And then in verse 15, this is one of the points I wanted to mention. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. So those three verses, because the prior verses that I was reading about talked about, in other words, the servant was praying and it was talking about different attributes, if I can say it that way, that whenever he would approach her, he wanted, you know, to ask her, you know, for some water. And then if she was to reply, she will give him the water as well as to water her camels. And in verse 15, it goes on to say that then Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. That can also symbolize readiness. Because just think about it. These are women who came out during the evening to draw water. If she came unprepared, didn't have the jar of water, came out there, you don't know how far she may have lived. And a lot of the times, these water sources were not close to everybody. So taking the time to go all the way to the water source to finally realize, look, you don't have everything you need. But the God that we serve wants to make us ready. And what Rebecca was doing is that she was ready. This was not her first time in which she came to the water source. This was something that was the women's responsibility. That's what they did. They gathered water for their household. This was a hard process, but it was very important. They had a jar that was carried upon their shoulders, that oftentimes these water sources were something they had stairs they had to possibly climb down. And then on top of that, they had to carry it for their family. So this was not this is not an easy task. So no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter what the responsibility is, no matter wherever God has placed upon our lives, whether it just be whatever ministry in the church, whether it be responsibility of caring for others, whether it be a responsibility on jobs, whatever it is, whatever God has allowed all of us to be at, that's our responsibility. And allow God to perfect his spirit in us in whatever responsibility he has called us. Because what's going to happen, this was an everyday experience for them. This wasn't something that was significant. No, all these women will go out during this time in the evening to gather water. So because this was something that was an everyday experience, but God used it to show his glory. He used it to bring about the promise. And so the same thing will happen for us. In our everyday experiences, that's when we can look up and then you can see the promise being manifested. And so also wanted to go on and mention here, again, the importance of being ready and the readiness is that she has a jar on her shoulder. How can we be ready? We can, or actually the opposite of that, what are ways that we're not ready? In our times of in the meantime, are we complaining? Are we getting upset? Are we not bearing any fruit of the Spirit? Are we living in old ways? Are we living in old habits? Or are we allowing God's Spirit to lead us, to perfect his Spirit within us, to have the love, to have the compassion, to have the gentleness, to have the things that will get us ready for the promised land, for whatever promise that God has called us, has promised to us individually. None of us know how to get there, but God is the one who does not just know how to get there, but he's already planned it. He's planned it out, and he's already orchestrated how we're going to get there and our readiness and preparedness. So when we do get there, we will bring him honor in that. We will glorify him in that. And so just know, and one of the things on which God told us last weekend, even in the lesson, was that God will not be made out to be a mockery. So whatever God has planned for us, the path that he will take us on is for him to be glorified in it, and we will not be made ashamed. So this place of meantime is to get us ready and prepared for the manifestation of what he has already set before us. And so also wanted to go further down, actually, in verse, actually you can read on, it's going on from verse 17 through verse 21. And this reads, the servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hand and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. That is a very key and very important. This was, for us, is looking at this was evidence of readiness. In our times where it looks like we're just going about our everyday lives, it looks like that nothing is changing, nothing is evolving, or is this even worth it? Am I even on the right path? I don't even see any changes. I don't see any evidence of a manifestation. Whatever we may find ourselves in, there is purpose. God is in motion and bringing about his manifestation. And so even in these verses, there was evidence. There was evidence of Rebecca's readiness. Just like with us, as long as we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, he will make our readiness known. Sometimes, and I remember Chief Apostle taught us this, and I never thought about it, that oftentimes people will watch us, won't say anything. They won't even acknowledge, they won't say anything about us, but they can recognize and know that there's something different. And there may even come a time that they will come and say something to us in reference to our walk with Christ, and knowing that, look, there is something different about you. There's something special. There is something that you operate with integrity, that you operate and with wanting to do the right thing, and which we live in a world that would rather believe a lie. So in that, in these few verses, and from verse 17 through 21, there was evidence of her readiness. And oftentimes it doesn't feel like that in these meantime moments that there's any benefit, there's any purpose, but there is purpose. There is purpose in this time. And so you may not never hear anybody say anything, but I want to let you know today that God has a special purpose in this meantime, and it's to get us ready. It's getting us prepared, and it is valuable. What you're doing is important. Just in this moment, as I've learned at church, it's in the moment. Chief Apostle said, yesterday is passed on. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. All we have is this moment. And in this moment, it is important. In this moment, it is key. In this moment, it is precious. And all we have is to do the best we can by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to do and to take the responsibilities that God has given us and do the best we can at it. And in doing that, you will never know the manifestation that is about to cross your path. You never know the opportunity that God is about to cross your path just by simply living your moment. And so the next thing I also wanted to go forward in is going down to verses 55 and 57. And this is another thing to be aware of. And I remember learning this at church, is that during this time, whenever the servant had put the bracelets on Rebecca's hands, put the earring on her nose, and shared with her what God had revealed to him. And so at that point, she ran home and shared with her family what had just happened. So her brother Laman went down to the well, got the head servant, his camels, and the other servants that was with him, and brought them back to the house. And they wanted to sit down and eat and have fellowship. But this servant, his head servant, he had a task. He was staying focused on what his task was. So before he did anything, he said, no, I have to tell you why I'm here. And he went on to explain the reason why he took that journey. And so then he even goes on to say the experience he had with Rebecca, and that he put the bracelets on her wrist, he put the nose in her ring. And when they heard this, the brother Laban and the father Bethuel immediately was like, look, this is the Lord's doing. Allow her to go with him. They agreed to it. So they ate the next morning. That's when they decided to go ahead and prepare to leave. But then something happened in verse 55. It says, actually the latter part of verse 54, it says, when they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master, verse 55. But her brother and her mother replied, let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted me success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they said, let's call the young woman and ask her about it. So they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? Her reply, I will go, she said. I wanted to end there because what is very important to realize is that the enemy does not want you to get to where you're going. He will bring distractions. And distractions can come in any which way. And I've learned that oftentimes the enemy will come in a dress one day, tear pants another day, a suit the next day. But it's recognizing the schemes of the enemy It had already been confirmed that this was God's doing. Whatever God has promised us, I remember Elder Harris, he always tells us, grab a hold to it, embrace it. I remember several years ago, there was an exercise where Chief Apostle had all of us hold on to a tissue box, and she tried to come and grab it from us to give us the example of knowing whatever God has promised us, hold on to it. Don't allow no one, don't allow the enemy to try to come and take that away. How does the enemy try to come and take that away? He will try to come and use deception. He will try to come and make you feel as if God is not going to do it, or try to change your mind about what God has said. Bring doubt, bring discouragement. He will try to leave us in those places. But in these last couple of verses, hold on to what God has said. Don't allow nobody to come in to tear away what God has promised. And the enemy will try to come and do that, but let's not give it to him. Hold on to the promise of what God has spoken. Protect it. Pray over it. Acknowledge God wherever we're at on this journey. In the meantime, in our moment, wherever we're at today, we've learned, even in this lesson, even if it may look like a situation or an opportunity, don't rush. Wait. Acknowledge God. Seek his will, because the one thing we want is a successful journey. That's what the servant wanted. He wanted a successful journey, and he knew he couldn't rely upon himself to do it. So he acknowledged God in that path so his way could be successful, so his path could be prosperous. So what he did was he acknowledged God. So I encourage all of us, none of us, I am not exempt, to acknowledge God in our moment, no matter where we're at. And knowing that God will make our path successful, but not allow anyone to try to disturb us off of it, but to recognize. Sometimes we may have close friends. Sometimes it can even be our family members. But understanding that only God has given you the promise, protect it, pray over it, think about it. That goes for me as well. Because what that does is that it keeps it on our minds. And I remember we had might have been almost a year, we've learned about our minds, the battlefield of the mind, is that whatever you put in your mind, whatever thoughts you're thinking, it will come into your heart. So if you're thinking negative, if you're thinking the wrong things, then all of a sudden it's in your heart, your emotions are affected by it, and now you start walking in that direction. But if we think about it, we're mindful of what we're thinking about, if we think about the promises, if we hold on to the promises, then at that point, then we will start to walk in them. We will be encouraged no matter if it looks like it hasn't changed, despite of it how it may feel. We'll hold on to those promises. So again, the last thing is to please remember, distractions come in all forms to try to get all of us off course. I'm not exempt. None of us are exempt. But God has equipped us with his spirit. He has given us everything we need not to allow the enemy to overtake us. So I encourage all of us to just recognize where we're at. And if it's not in a place of peace, if it's not in a place, then call it out for what it is. And then get up from there. And it was one of the things that I saw actually a few weeks ago that says, we can't change the past. So just accept what happened. If it's something that needs to get right or repent about it, do that. Now get up and go forward so that way you can be fully prepared for the manifestation God has called you to. And the last thing I want to mention on this topic in reference to distractions in people is actually going to come out of the book, I Win, I Am a Survivor. I mentioned this on the, I believe it might have been last week, that this book is a very wonderful book to always reference. And I'm going to be referencing it for the course, however long God says. So I encourage you, all of you, to revisit it. If you don't have it, go to Amazon. It is very easy to obtain. Majority of us have Amazon Prime. If you don't have it, it's still a good bargain. So I wanted to actually speak on the topic. I actually wanted to talk about it on page 70. And the one thing I want to say is that it goes on to say, and this is a quote from the book, When I Am a Survivor, and it says, only you have power over your life, and the decisions you make will always include people. So I want to stop there. look, we can't live on an island by ourselves. And if we can, hey, more power to you. But no man is an island. No, we live in this world. We're going to be involved with people. Recognize that. Accept it. But we have the power. We have the power within ourselves. And then it goes on to say that the world we live in, explanation point. People come and people go. But it's your responsibility to control how they affect your life. Now, remember, in going back to the scripture, if Rebecca would have allowed her family to persuade her not to go, she would have missed. She would have missed such a promise. She would have missed such a manifestation that she would have never expected to happen. So that is the same thing what can happen to us. Trust in the power that God has given you. He has given you the power. So don't give it away. But trust in the power that God has given you. Trust in God. As the song comes on at the beginning of the episode, it's have faith in God. Have faith in him and trust in the power that he's given all of us to make the decisions. That is what is right concerning us, not what people say. Because as the book was quoting, look, you have it. Don't allow people to come in to bring distractions. We live in a world with people. That's the first thing. Acknowledge that. But just because people may come and say something opposite of you does not mean you have to go along with them. If you know what God says, it doesn't matter what people say. You have to stand on what you know, because all of us are going to be accountable before God and how we live this life. We can't say it because this person said or because that person said no. My Bible tells me we're going to stand before God with fear and trembling. So while we have breath in our body, while we have this moment, let's utilize the power and the blessing God has given us in this moment and not give it to people, not allow the enemy to come in and bring in the distractions that he will do. But acknowledge it, recognize it. And utilize the power God has given us, which is his Holy Spirit. In the lesson, it talks about the servant praying, acknowledge God wherever we're at. And I guarantee you, God will make all of our ways successful. So as we close this time, I just pray that God has blessed you all in this. We just honor God and thank you all for just spending your lunch time with us. We thank God for this lesson. And we just thank God for this opportunity. And just know that you're special to God. You're important to God. And in the meantime, in this moment, it is special. It is important. It has value. And it is adding to the manifestation that God has for your life. So at this moment, we're just going to pray and we just give God the thanks. So Heavenly Father God, we just come to you, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We bless you, Heavenly Father God, and we just honor you. We repent of every sin by thought, word, deed, sins of omission and commission. And we just say thank you, Heavenly Father God, for this opportunity. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for how you continue to be with those on the line, Heavenly Father. We thank you for their lives. We pray that, God, that you will be glorified in what was said, that it will be an encouragement to their hearts. My Lord, we lift them up unto you, Heavenly Father God, that even on today, onward, Heavenly Father God, that they will be encouraged in you. They will be strengthened and revived in you, Heavenly Father. And we pray that you will encourage them. We pray you'll continue to lead them, to guide them, Heavenly Father God, and to lift them up. Allow them to see the things that are hidden, Heavenly Father, that they will continue to walk in victory and a path that is successful. So we thank you again for this opportunity, and we bless you, Heavenly Father God, and we honor your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So everyone, we thank you again for this time. Be blessed. And the Lord's will, we'll see you next week. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.